Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. House Republicans have released their plan to keep the government funded into early next year. But will Democrats sign on?
Speaker Mike Johnson released a two-step CR, or continuing resolution, that would extend funding through January 19th and again February 2nd. It would be contingent on passing certain long-term appropriations bills by then. The package does not include funding for Israel, Ukraine, or the border. Johnson said it's a necessary bill to allow Republicans to fight for conservative priorities. House Democrats are still reviewing the measure, but the White House called it an unserious proposal. Nicole Killian, CBS News, Washington.
The credit rating agency Moody's Investor Service recently downgraded its outlook on U.S. government debt to negative because of political division in the Congress and increases in interest rates. The Israeli military this morning is saying it will transport babies from a hospital in Gaza that has no electricity. IDF spokeswoman Libby Weiss.
We are in touch with the staff at Shifa Hospital and will help evacuate that hospital, as we already did with the Nasser and Rentisi hospitals.
Separately, the IDF says militants fired anti-tank missiles today near the Israeli-Lebanon border, hitting some civilians. The IDF is retaliating with artillery fire. Protests are growing worldwide over Israel's military offensive in Gaza, says CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
This weekend, there were large protests in London, Sydney, and Spain, even outside President Biden's Delaware home, supporting Palestinians, while in Israel, thousands gathered in Tel Aviv to demand release of 240 hostages still held by Hamas. Israel says there will be no ceasefire until they are returned.
Donald Trump and the mainstream media are actually on the same page, at least when it comes to televising his upcoming federal trial. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Donald Trump's criminal trial here in Washington in the 2020 election conspiracy case is set to begin March 4th. There are no cameras permitted in federal courts nationwide, but a media organization has filed a motion seeking to allow them in this case, and Trump has signed off, saying every person in America and beyond should have the opportunity to study this case firsthand.
People in San Francisco are preparing for this week's Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. President Biden is scheduled to meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on the sidelines of the summit. This business owner is hoping the two can turn down the heat.
Very positive for both countries to sit down and talk it out and then understand each other instead of guessing, because guessing is very dangerous.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The fastest.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. America yet again finds itself on the brink of a government shutdown. People in Wisconsin want lawmakers to keep working Americans in mind when considering certain programs. More from Mike Mohn.
Congress has 1 week to approve a new federal spending plan, but with a new House Speaker in place come renewed concerns Republicans in that chamber will press for steep cuts before the latest deadline. Jordan Anderson, a disability rights advocate from central Wisconsin, worries about accessing disability benefits through Social Security if his job status changes. It's even more pressing for those close to him.
I have friends that are unable to work, so they kind of depend on the one check that comes every month, and it's vital to have what they need to buy groceries.
Anderson also worries about water quality in his community. The House passed an environmental appropriations package that cuts spending by 35%. Lawmakers did not respond to a request for comment, but generally, House GOP members have stressed the need to rein in spending. Hard right House members are pushing for cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program under the Farm Bill reauthorization. Linda Spaulding, a retired community college teacher from Kenosha, says many working families are struggling to get by.
We're trying to decide, well, do I afford childcare or can I afford food on the table? What are you going to pick?
Bobby Kogan with the Center for American Progress says it's important for the public to know that House Republicans have floated cuts that some might argue go beyond extreme.
House Republicans called for an 80% cut. It's money that goes to poor school districts to make sure that they can hire teachers.
Lawmakers backing that idea say unspent COVID funding factors into their reasoning. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
High temperatures reach up to 53 today under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 35. Tonight, clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I walk through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole is leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag."
November 11th.
We got a little hole in that flag there.
2023.
Washington took it across the Delaware.
Veterans Day. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live. But not so local. I'm in St. Louis for the Carroll football game against Washington University that we will start broadcasting at 11:30. But my honored guest and my faithful producer, Anya, are both coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the old NAMI building. Right down the street from our Veterans Park, where a service will begin at 10:30 this morning, honoring so many like my guest who have served our country proudly. 105 years ago on this day, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, an armistice, a treaty, was signed that was to end the war, to end all wars. This day would become known as Armistice Day. Unfortunately, It didn't. The World War, the First World War, didn't end global conflict, and a new generation of Americans, a group later called the Greatest Generation, answered this nation's call to service with the advent of World War II. In 1954, Armistice Day was changed to Veterans Day, broadening the event to include all America's veterans, including today's guest and a fellow former elder, Vietnam War veteran, Tim Nekich. Tim, welcome.
Good morning, Don.
How are you today?
It's been a busy week so far with some presentations and preparations for Veterans Day and, you know, just normal life tasks for a 76-year-old.
Yeah, you know, tell us about some of those presentations, because I know you visit a lot of our schools.
Yesterday, I was at Whitnall Middle School in Greenfield, my hometown, and they did a Veterans Day presentation that started at 7 o'clock in the morning with a program, and then they did breakout sessions in various classrooms. I get to visit three classrooms yesterday and share some of my experiences with those kids, along with two other guys, one a former Marine and another Army guy, two of us Vietnam veterans, and somebody that was just a veteran after the Vietnam conflict. So it was a good experience, good questions, and that's pretty much what these kids are. They're curious about it. A week before, I was at Longfellow Middle School in Tulsa doing the same thing, but before all the sixth and seventh graders in an auditorium. It's heartwarming that they're interested. It gives me a chance to share all kinds of things that I brought back, like over 200 pictures and of my time as an 18, 19, and 20-year-old in the United States Army.
That's wonderful. And Tim and I, we had the pleasure to meet for coffee a couple weeks before to kind of set this up. And but tell us a little bit about your service in Vietnam, if you don't mind.
Okay, I graduated from high school, Greenfield High School, in June of 1966. And 4 months later, I was drafted into the United States Army. Well, back then, there was no lottery. You got chosen, and I got a letter from the President of the United States with an auto signature, Lyndon Johnson, telling me to report.
OBJ.
Telling me to report to the Milwaukee Induction Center because I was going to be inducted into the Armed Forces of the United States. So I reported, was in a room with probably 70, 80 other guys after a physical and this, that, and the other thing. And we're in this big room and a guy comes in and he says, okay, the first 25 guys on my left, you are now in the Navy. Everybody else is going to the Army. So they put us on an overnight train to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And the first thing they did when they got us off the bus and got us to the post was line us up to give us a haircut. Okay, they shaved our heads and charged us 60 cents each for that haircut. So,
were you one of those long haired hippie guys, Tim, back then?
No, I had a good looking pompadour. My hair's a little longer these days, but I was a typical 60s kid, okay?
There you go.
it was, my dad was career Army, okay? So I grew up with an Army uniform in the house, going to meetings every Thursday, and 2 weeks every summer, he would go to Leonard Wood or Camp McCoy for 2 weeks of additional training. And he spent pretty close to 40 years with his World War II and his reserve experience. He was in the 961st Engineer Battalion that was located up in the old disciplinary barracks on Silver Spring, which is now Haven Woods Nature Preserve. And there is a company of the 961st that's based in Milwaukee. Dad was the chief warrant officer in the personnel section, and he got to sign everybody's ID card. But he tapped me on the shoulder when I was leaving the house to go report, and he said, just be a good soldier. And I tried to do that.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Vietnam.
That's terrific.
That came in late 1967. After basic training, I went back to Leonard Wood, and I was a company clerk in a basic training company. Unfortunately, it was F Company, 2nd Battalion, 2nd Training Brigade. And I was the guy that ran the office. The first sergeant and the CO were basically always with the troops. So from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, I was in the orderly room doing various paperwork. I was also a part-time mail clerk, so at the end of every training day, everybody'd line up and we'd call their names and pass out mail. So that was most of 67. Late 1967, I got orders as an individual to report to the 90th Replacement Battalion in Long Binh, South Vietnam. So I get 30-day leave, went home, see the family, and traveled to Travis Air Force Base in San Francisco to get on an airplane to go all the way to Vietnam. So after another physical and then getting some uniforms and things like that, we boarded a plane and headed to Anchorage, Alaska for a refueling stop. And when we left Anchorage, we are out over the Pacific. Our next destination was Okinawa to refuel before we went to Tansanut Air Force Base near Saigon at the time in Vietnam. We got past the point of no return in this Boeing 707, and one of the engines caught fire. So we were forced to land in an Air Force Base in northern Japan so they could fly a new airplane from the States to take us all the way. So that's how I got to Vietnam. I landed in Vietnam on January 20th, 1968, about a week into the Tet Offensive, which was the first major offensive of the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, overrunning various air bases, army bases, and so on and so forth. So that's the beginning of that adventure.
Sure. And once you were there, you know, as you explained to me, you didn't you weren't involved in the combat, but you obviously played a very important role in administrative capacity. Tell us about that.
Okay. I was put into a regimental headquarters troop that was formed to support a brand new unit coming to Vietnam. That was the 7th Armored Squadron, 1st Air Cav, nicknamed the Blackhawks, coming over as a complete unit, except for a small advance party. My job was to, I handled port calls and travel orders. I handled assignments into the various troops. There was 4 companies, A, B, C, and D. The first 3, A through C, were different helicopters, and D was self-contained infantry. The Blackhawks were a small incursion, self-enclosed, so to speak, fighting force. They were attached to other things, but we were self-contained. In other words, we didn't depend on somebody else for infantry support unless we're in a bigger situation, so to speak. But that's what I did. So I cut orders for travel home, and I assigned people to their various tasks when they got there. Look at their job description, and Company A needed a helicopter mechanic, so that's where he would go if that slot was open. Every other day was at least 12 hours of guard duty, 18-hour office days, 12 hours of guard duty, and on the perimeter, and that would be either in a guard tower, 4 people, 5-man bunker, or a 2-man fighting position. And
so you would hold a post then?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we would watch activity all night long and report any activity that got close to our perimeter. And it depended. The tower was a little bit more interesting because they had night vision scopes and stuff, and you could see more. Right on the perimeter, you're a little bit more blind unless you saw muzzle flashes or something like that. And it was the monsoon season, too. So if you were in a fighting position, you spend a lot of time covering your weapon to keep it dry.
Okay. Wow. You know, during your time there, like you said, you collected a lot of photos and oral histories, if you will. Is that correct? About a lot of the soldiers that you were assigning or working with?
I was told by a sergeant before I left for Vietnam that if I wasn't a good letter writer or didn't like to spend time writing letters, to take pictures, buy a cheap camera and take pictures. Right. So I did that. I bought a cheap Polaroid camera to start, and I started sending pictures home on a weekly, couple times a week basis, with captions on them so my family could see that I was doing okay. My mom saved every one of those Polaroids. Wow. And some of those Polaroids, by the way, are still as good as they were 50-some years
That's ago. Great. That's great. Hey, we have a minute before we have to go on a little hiatus for some important messages. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about this amazing history that Tim captured during his service in Vietnam, as well as some great local news, including a National Letter of Intent Signing Day at Waukesha South and North, and the Carroll Minute. So, don't go away. We'll see you on the other side of these important messages as This Week in Waukesha continues with former alderman and Vietnam War vet Tim Neckage.
She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Hack Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Hack Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
When I was a young man, I carried my pack, and I lived the free life of a rover. From the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, my country said, son, it's time to stop rambling, 'cause there's work to be done.
So hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and you're listening to The Pogues, one of my favorite bands, doing a wonderful rendition of the band played Waltzing Matilda, which tells the story of an Australian soldier in the Great War, what we now know called today World War One, who lost his legs in Gallipoli. And it's just to show you, this day is also remembered around the world and in many countries, including our neighbors in North and Canada. It's referred to as the Day of Remembrance, honoring all of those veterans who have served their countries proudly. And for any like students of the battle in Gallipoli in World War One, which was just a massacre, the Allies suffered great losses. But the great irony was that this really unique brotherhood was formed among the British soldiers. They were Protestants and Catholics from Northern Ireland, and Jews and Palestinians from what was then known as Palestine. And they became like family, like brothers in arms, united in this what turned out to be a very futile and violent cause. But I encourage anybody to read it. There's some really interesting takeaways, especially, you know, in the context of what's going on today in the world. We're back with Tim Nekich. And before we talk more about Tim's efforts after the war in terms of honoring our veterans, especially our Vietnam veterans, we wanted to give a big shout out. This week on Thursday was National Letter of Intent Signing Day for student athletes around the country. And at Waukesha South, 4 baseball players and 1 football player committed to playing at the next level this week. 3 players will be staying in state, including Brighton Staub, who will be going right down the street at our beloved Carroll University. Tyler Conjure will continue his career in the diamond at UW Lacrosse. Tannis Lang will be going with Ohio State, our brilliant lefty ace pitcher. And Ben Jimenez will be playing at Iowa Lake Community College. He'll continue his baseball career. And then Evan Stout, full disclosure, my son, will hit the gridiron at UW Eau Claire. So very proud of those 5 young men. And I've seen most of them grow from young boys to being great young men. And it's funny for Tannis Lang, really excited. It seemed like his entire extended family was there. And you were never so happy to see so much scarlet and gray in Ohio State gear as you were for this family. Very proud of what Tannis has accomplished. He's also a brilliant student in the Engineering Academy at South. So very happy for that family, as for all the families. And then at Waukesha West, the swim team has delivered 3 young ladies to the next level, the women's swim team. Carly Marisick will head to Florida State, while Olivia Warner and Elizabeth Bean will stay in the region at Big Ten schools, Minnesota and Iowa, respectively. So very proud of those students and the coaches and families. Just a great honor for all of them. So, but Returning to my good friend, my good new friend here, Tim, and fellow alumnus on the city council. So you came back from the war, and I'm old enough to remember, you know, during the 70s, Vietnam vets didn't get a lot of respect. And tragically, in many ways, they were cursed and figuratively and sometimes literally spit on. But you did something about that. Tell us, Tim.
Well, I'm just one small cog in the wheel, and my way to do that was to take those pictures and my personal story and share whatever I could when I could. You know, I came home in 1968 in November, came back to Wisconsin, and that shoebox full of pictures stayed on a shelf until like 1982. Nobody asked, nobody cared.
You might
take it out, maybe share it with one of my kids, maybe if they asked a question. But the only person that I really shared most of that experience with was my dad, because he was a soldier. He was a veteran. He understood. And
in World War II, right, Tim?
Yes, right. He was a truck driver in the 26th Infantry Division, Patton's Third Army. He drove in the Red Ball Express. And by the way, he is one of over 90,000 U.S. veterans that the government of France has awarded with the French Legion of Honor.
Fantastic.
He was really proud of that. And quick story, he got the medal. My mom died in 2015, and we moved dad back to Wisconsin. But he got the medal before mom died, but he didn't get all the documents and stuff.
Sure.
I made arrangements when I heard about Honor Flight, Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. I made arrangements to take him on an honor flight.
And how wonderful.
The week before his honor flight, the French consulate had called his cell phone, and I happened to pick it up. And they happened to have the rest of the paperwork, a certificate signed by the government of France and the president, and they overnighted it to me so that my family could present that to him before he went on his honor flight.
Wow.
Really great moment.
Yeah, what a wonderful account. Thanks for sharing.
So that's where it started. In 1982, when people started to realize that there was a whole generation of soldiers that were called losers and all kinds of different things and didn't care. They just didn't care. In 1982, I hemmed and hawed. There was a newspaper article in the Freeman about a group of guys trying to charter a Vietnam Veterans of America group here in Waukesha. And I hemmed and hawed, and I finally decided to go learn about it. And I helped charter Chapter 425 of Vietnam Veterans of America here in town.
Nice.
A great group of guys that are still active to this day. Anybody's interested, if you're a veteran out there or want to be associated with this group, reach out, because they do good things in this community and are always looking for somebody to help, somebody to honor, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you feel your ultimate victory came shortly after you started that in the late 80s when Mikhail Gorbachev took over in the Soviet Union and perestroika came on and the Cold War had come to an end, and that Vietnam War was an important battle in winning the ultimate Cold War. Because, you know, following Vietnam was Afghanistan, which became the Soviet Union's Vietnam, which they could not afford. And it led to, at least for many years, a really, really wonderful peace.
I'm a U.S. Army Vietnam vet. I was in the cavalry, but that might be a little weird for somebody. The Cav still exists, but they fly helicopters instead of ride horses these days.
Nice.
And I take that experience for me. It, and I know other guys, it was bottled up too long. It has to be shared. Every little tidbit. And I'm going to give a shout out to Stars and Stripes Honor Flight before this is over.
Love
today.
It.
I'm an
you
alumni.
Got it. Yep.
I'm not an official spokesperson, but
sorry to interrupt. We're going to take a quick stop here for some important messages. When we come back, we want to hear more about that from Tim Nekic as This Week in Waukesha continues.
Well, how in that hell that they call Sovlevi?
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson has revealed his two-step plan to keep the government funded into next year. Will Democrats sign on? Bloomberg congressional reporter Eric Wasson.
They're going to need Democrats, and Democrats will have a choice to make. Democrats certainly don't like the two-step scenario and find it overly complicated and difficult to administer.
There was a gathering in Palo Alto, California last night of people calling for an end to the violence in the Middle East. Farhad Andrabi Nabeed was there.
It felt like a utopia. And this is not just a Jewish and Muslim thing. You know, this is, for me, it's a human thing.
Donald Trump wants his federal trial next year televised. He spoke yesterday at a campaign rally in New Hampshire.
They said, sir, do you want a trial with or without cameras? Now, most people would say without. I say the opposite. I want this trial to be seen by everybody in the world.
Ultimately, the judge will decide whether to allow television cameras into that courtroom. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's been one of the most surprising stories this year in Wisconsin sports. Manager Craig Counsell deciding to leave Milwaukee and join the Chicago Cubs, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio.
We have a commitment to players in our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. And it extends to the next generation. We lost Craig, but I've reflected on this. You know, Craig has lost us.
In what turned out to be his last press conference as the Brewers manager, Counsell said despite losing in the playoffs to Arizona, he was proud of his players.
This was a great team. And I think I told the guys, I said, you know, as you move forward in your careers, you should want to create teams like this. You should use your leadership to create an atmosphere like this. This was a team you want to be on. They celebrated each other. And it's just a group that it made baseball a lot of fun.
That's Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
High temperatures reach up to 53 today under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 35 tonight. Clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. The holiday season should remind us that faith and family are the most important things in life, and we hope that you succeed in coming together this holiday season with those you love and in the process creating some generational memories. Holidays have this magical power to magnify small things to ever greater memories over time. What a return on investment. Happy holidays.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys. 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Washington.
November 21, 1864. Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I cannot refrain from tendering you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father may assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, Abraham Lincoln.
Hey, we're back in This Week in Waukesha. What you just heard has been now known famously as the Bixby letter. During my broadcast on Memorial Day weekend, when I had Tim's fellow Council 425 members, we played the scene from Saving Private Ryan when General Sherman reads that and basically instructs his team to make sure that someone goes out there and brings that last member of the Ryan family home. That letter, just the letter itself, you know, when you talk about real life and just the inspiration from that and just an understanding what families go through when they send one of their sons and daughters off to war, the anguish. And my mother, all three of her brothers served in World War II, and fortunately all came back alive. And we're also different ports, mostly in the Navy. Two were in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and another was in South America. So very fortunately, they didn't see a lot of the serious combat that millions of other American soldiers had experienced. But nonetheless, you know, the service is to be commended and was certainly very important to the ultimate cause, for freedom and protecting our national interests and the best interests of the world, we believed, especially in World War II. Back here with Tim Nekich. So you came back from the war and you started your career in printing like many here in the Milwaukee area. And you still had this feeling to serve. You know, you ran and became alderman in 1988. Is that correct? For the 4th District where Joe Piper serves now?
Yeah, it was 1987.
87, excuse me.
Yeah, I beat the incumbent alderman who had been on the council for 20 some years by 66 votes. It was quite the experience. And my time on the common council in service to the 4th Aldermanic District and the citizens of Waukesha was special. And I'm just a small cog in the wheel in anything I do. It takes a really good team, and this community has always had a really good team, including you, Don. So
thank you.
Thank you for your service to the community and your ongoing service here. But it was part of this thing. I come back, and it wasn't enough. I was a history buff in high school, and all of a sudden I got this bug to do more. So, and I'm not a person with a lot of ego or anything like that, but I just felt that service is important. And it's always been that way. So every little contribution you make, whether you give a talk, whether you actually attend the meeting, whatever, every little bit of service contributes to your community, to the people that you surround yourself with. It helps them learn something about you. So that's why I'm sitting here today. That's why I took the 200 some pictures and turned it into a slideshow, because it's about education. War's not fun. Everybody that went to Vietnam played a different role. And there's 58,000 plus names on that wall in DC. And they need to be recognized. When I came back and came back to Wisconsin, I went back to the old neighborhood in Greenfield, and our immediate next door neighbors, we were like family. We grew up together, and one of the kids was on his way to Vietnam the next day, and he never came home. So that family to this day is devastated by that particular loss. And who blames him? He was a special guy. And for us living veterans from Vietnam, I think some of us feel that we're making a contribution by living our lives the best we can for those guys that couldn't come home. So I'll leave it there.
No.
Go ahead.
Yep. Tim, I want to say, you mentioned the Vietnam Wall, and probably one of the most memorable experiences for me as an alderman was taking the opportunity to volunteer on the moving Vietnam Wall Memorial that the Waukesha got to host on Memorial Day weekend back in, I believe it was 2020 or 2021. And we both volunteered. I don't know if we'd met because I think we were in different days, but I kept coming back, and I would, you know, they give you, Anya, you'll appreciate this. They give you a piece of paper and like a kind of a big lead pencil, like a crayon, and then you can sketch over any names you recognize. And I didn't have any family members. I had a very close friend that was like a big brother, a next door neighbor who was there, and he lost his ultimate battle with the war many years later. I think of him especially on a day like today. But I then, for those that were killed, I started, I looked up guys from my hometown of Orchard Park, New York, and there were like maybe six. And one of them was the older brother, one of my former coaches, a really nice family. And his name was Doug Henning, and he was an amazing football player and an amazing student. He was going to go to Princeton, and he delayed that. He voluntarily enlisted in the Army and was killed in Vietnam. And I never knew that he'd, because his younger brother Ron never talked about his brother dying, but I knew that he had this older brother that was just an amazing person. And, just so many, great lives we've lost in these wars. And our debt of gratitude, is endless. And, for anybody listening, I know we don't have a lot of time on this hour show, but, if you do have a family member you want to remember, call in 844-967-2789, or even text it in. And, we keep all the men and women in our hearts that have served, and of course those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. But it's one thing we learned about the Greatest Generation, and even from the Vietnam War era, like yourself, Tim, that these people come back and they continue to serve, that need to serve, that obligation, but also that honor. And because you're not done serving, tell us what you're doing now or what you have been doing the last few years.
Since my dad's honor flight, the year after my dad had his honor flight in 2016, they opened it up to all Vietnam veterans. And so 2017, I got to go on my honor flight with my brother Bruce. My brother Bruce is a Vietnam era veteran, and he spent his time in the Army Security Agency at Fort Belvoir in Maryland. Yeah. He was taught to listen and understand Vietnamese, so he was kind of listening to radio broadcasts and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Brothers going on an honor flight, that's pretty important. We're different generations. Yeah. We're 7 years apart. But we both served, and we had the finest example a family could ever had in our dad. And so Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, I owe them a great deal of gratitude. I'd been to the wall before, because I'd been to D.C. a bunch of times, but it isn't the same. It wasn't the same until you were there with a group of guys that understand your struggle, your battle. Millions of men and women went to Vietnam and all contributed in a small way in a different role in something or other. And you keep hearing these stories. You keep appreciating it. You keep appreciating the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that come out. They just had their last honor flight for the year last weekend, okay? And they'll pick it up in the spring. They're such a good local organization for veterans because of what they do. I encourage people to next year volunteer, do something. Give some money to fly a veteran to Washington, D.C. so that they can experience that flight. And I'm just an unofficial alumni, okay? But they left such an impact. They've opened up that opportunity. Going to a middle school or going to a small group, it's a special way to continue to give back.
Sure.
And I have to continue to give back. That's just me. But
And what I wanted to pinpoint was you're also giving back in a role you've been playing for the city or for the clerk's office. Is that correct?
Yes. About 8 years ago, maybe nine, I walked into City Hall to change my address. And somebody said, "Have you ever been a chief election inspector?" And I said, "No, what do I do?" And all of a sudden, the city clerk was in front of me, and I became a chief election inspector. I sat out the COVID year, but I've been at it ever since. I'm looking forward to the next election year. I've got a great crew.
And that's why I wanted to emphasize, Tim, was that with all these people that are screaming, you know, or the election deniers, that there's people like you, a Vietnam War vet, that are behind our election process, especially in Waukesha, where Gina Kozik, our clerk, and her team and all the judges are, there's so much integrity that goes into this. And I can speak from personal experience. As you know, I lost my first, time is all, I lost by 12 votes, and boy, it would have been nice if the, you know, because Terry wasn't running anymore. His name was still on the ballot, but you know, they held up the integrity of the election, and fortunately I was appointed and then elected in my own right. But so I was asked, I just got a text here, what are the requirements to go on an honor flight with a veteran? Greg Wansnyder wants to know.
Okay,
Triple G,
they right now, World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans are the main body. If there are other services right now, you can reach out to Stars and Stripes Honor Flight, because they will talk to you about somebody that's ill or, you know, infirm. They haven't totally opened it up to the other conflicts yet, but they're working on that. So they just have to reach out to Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. You can find them on Facebook. Stars and Stripes Honor Flight.org, and go from that. So
sounds
anybody
great
within those parameters right now, it's more than welcome to apply. You go through an application process. They want to know your medical things. When my dad flew, he was 92. Oldest guy on the plane that day was 99. They have doctors and medical personnel on the flight. They cater to every knee. They provide wheelchairs and whatever is necessary so that veteran can have a great day.
Sounds great. Hey, and speaking of honor, I just want to sneak in some local news here with the Carroll Minute. The Collegiate Conference of Illinois and Wisconsin, the CCIW, released its annual all-conference volleyball team Monday afternoon, and Carroll's Katie Jensen was named to the all-CCIW second team. Congratulations to Katie, who was a senior from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who led the Pioneers with 240 kills while finishing second on the team in 53. She also finished ninth in the CCIW in kills per set. And this marks her second consecutive all-conference nod after receiving the same honor last season. So congratulations again. And they also got Carroll Volleyball's CCIW Respect Award recipient was given to Lindsay Diep, a senior from Grays Lake, Illinois. So congratulations to her. And then again, Carroll will be on later today playing their last game of the season here in St. Louis against the 6-3 Bears of Washington University. Francis Field, where Washington University plays, is actually the site of the third Olympics in 1904. So a lot of history, and really excited. If the Pios win today, it'll give them their third consecutive 6-win season. So really looking forward to a great day. So, you know, join Johnny and myself and Anya at 11:30 later this morning. So much going on, but we have a minute before we have some important messages to make, but I also want to remind everybody that This Week in Waukesha will move to a 2-hour show so we can have more in-depth conversations with great people like Tim. But also this first episode will be on Small Business Saturday, the 25th, and we have a couple small business owners lined up to participate. If you have a small business that you want to sponsor, you know, give us a shout or stop by the studio here. Again, so much more to talk about when we come back with Tim Nekich on this very special Veterans Day edition here in This Week in Waukesha. Don't go away.
Yeah. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See him in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or 76th and Layton, right on the corner of Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, WAUK.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his uncle.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. And I don't think you would be American if you don't remember that classic from World War II from the Andrews Sisters, the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company C. Did I get that right, or Company B?
I think he's in Company B, isn't he?
Company B, yeah. That's, I'm confusing it with the Vietnam-era movie called The Boys from Company C. But anyway, just a big shout-out to The Greatest Generation. And if you haven't already, I highly recommend everybody read Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation. It's a collection of interviews with our veterans. Just some amazing, riveting stories of people, that not only their service during the war, but when they came back and they built the modern empire that is America, just basically blazing new trails in so many different areas of industry, medicine, education, community service. Tim's father is one of them included. And also want to remember our Korean vets, including my father, the late Martin J. Brown. And that's another, they actually call that the Forgotten War, but really the first battle in the Cold War that, is also a very important effort for us. And so all veterans are finally remembered, but certainly a big shout out to my dad and all the Korean War vets too. So as I mentioned before the break, November 25th is our first two-hour show, and it's a big shout-out to Small Business Saturday. So, again, I encourage any small business owners to learn more about that. We want to be able to celebrate you and send some customers to your store. It means so much when you spend a few more dollars with a local business owner on a really unique product. That money is going to be very circular. It's going to sponsor your kids' team or dance troupe or something else that's important to you in the community. And that's why small business owners are so important to our local culture and to our local economy and just so many things that are important to us. Obviously, we love our local restaurants for sure. And hey, I want to give a big shout out to James Santel, who is now in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, faithfully serving the mission, but also getting ready for his own wonderful show, Morning Cannolis, that starts next. And I highly encourage you to check that out. And Anya, if we're available to get a quick photo of Jim and Tim, that would be fantastic. Or if Jim wants to take a picture of you and Tim, we want to make sure we chronicle that. Like Tim, I'm really big on history, and so want to be able to capture this great moment here, having Tim in studio. And we haven't seen the last of them because Tim had a great idea about getting some other former aldermen together and having like a round table on future shows. And now that we have that two-hour format, We can do that, and we'll have time to take callers. We want to hear from the locals and what it is you're looking for from the programming, but also what can make our city better than it already is. So, but back to Tim. So, What time do you have to yourself with all this volunteer work that you do and all the schools that you go visit? And
I have plenty of things to do. I'm into genealogy, so I do a lot of family history.
Right.
And I do dabble in the arts. I do try to paint a picture every once in a while or do some sketching. And but I have 9 grandkids, too, so I'd love to spend as much time as I can with them.
Oh, wow.
2 boys and a daughter. Just a wonderful family, far and wide. And so plenty to do, but you always got to make time for something, and you can always find that time.
Sure, sure. That's really neat. Tim, you just reminded me of a great story, if you don't mind me going off on a tangent here.
Go ahead.
I used to work at a restaurant in Chicago, and one of our servers had a grandfather who was a retired prestigious columnist for the Chicago Tribune. His name was Jack the Beard Thompson, and he flew over with one of the I forget, there was a famous air brigade D-Day. Excuse me. And they were able to organize a luncheon with those veterans, and one of them is an old iron worker who gave me, I still have it, he makes little toys for his kids out of iron, and one of them was this genie from Aladdin. It was so cool. And just the intricate design. And but it was neat seeing like 8 or 10 of these Air Force guys, I believe they were, having lunch with Jack the Beard Thompson and reliving those memories. Because Thompson flew, he paratrooped down against the orders of Bertie McCormick, the legendary publisher of the Chicago Tribune, and some amazing history there. So, but yeah, we have to talk more. I think between the two of us, there's a good book out on some great history, especially with our veterans, our local veterans in particular. So what are you going to do today in this Veterans Day? Will you be at the ceremony at 10:30?
Yes, I will be at the ceremony at 10:30, just down the block. And if you've never been to that ceremony, the Allied Veterans Council, come down there. It's right on the corner of Wisconsin, Main, and West Avenue. And and enjoy the ceremony and hug a veteran today.
Yeah, say thank you.
Say thank you. Give them that moment. Because they deserve it, and we need to do more of that. When veterans get together, there's always hugs, and there's always one other thing: welcome home. It's important if for a Vietnam veteran, especially, to hear that welcome
home.
It took so long, and it was so unfair not to do that. That wound is still healing, and we need to do more work on that. I appreciate the time today, guys. Thank
Likewise.
You very much. Thanks.
Wow. Well, you're get used to this because we want to have you back on again, and especially to talk about our combined city work and get some other fellow alders, former alders on there, maybe current and past. Mm. But Tim Nekich, Vietnam War vet, retired lithographer, former alderman, election inspector, and just a great all-around American. Thank you for your service. And to your comrades in arms from the Vietnam War, and of course to your father's generation, greatest generation, and thanks to all veterans on everything that you make possible. And speaking of memorials too, just a shout out, on November 21st at 4:39 p.m., the city will have a memorial honoring the victims of the Christmas parade attack from 2 years ago. So put that. And then my guest next week is Chief Daniel Thompson, his first appearance on This Week in Waukesha. I'm really excited about having Chief Thompson on. And I want to thank Anya for putting together a great remote broadcast here. Remember to join us at 11:30 as we get ready for the Pios to take on the Bears of Wash U. And enjoy this beautiful, sunny Veterans Day. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. And thank a vet. And see ya!
Boys asleep with Boogie every night, and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet, because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The U.S. continues to pressure Israel to stop attacking Hamas positions in hospitals in the Gaza Strip.